Welcome to the big interview on Money Life. And there's not many subjects bigger than the Fed and what the Fed is doing right now when it comes to the economy and how people think about what's going to happen next. There's not many people I'd rather talk to. In fact, there's nobody I'd rather talk to when it comes to the Fed than Doug Roberts, the chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. He is the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And if you want to learn more about Doug, what he's thinking, his book, and more, you're going to go to channelcapitalresearch.com. If you want to make sure you don't miss what he's thinking as well at any given moment, you'll follow him on Twitter where he's at Doug S. Roberts. But right now he's on Money Life. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Chuck, always a pleasure to be here, man.
So it is always great to chat with you, but you know, right now we're looking at a point where the Fed is changing things. I mean, not to the point where we necessarily are saying, oh, I think there's going to be big differences, but as they stay on schedule every time, there becomes a question, are we going off schedule next? So what was your reaction to the news this week?
It was more, I guess, a question of form over substance. There were some minor changes. Really, if you look at it, the fourth rate increase was largely anticipated. And really, if you look at what their end point is, which is, you know, roughly around where the 30-year bond is trading right now, it hasn't really changed that much. They've just moved basically one rate increase, most definitely from 2019 into 2018. And that's really the major difference at all. Aside from it's a continuation, you've had to get, you know, some systemic changes that are more based on the fact that Jerome Powell, unlike his predecessors, is really a businessman as opposed to an academic with no PhD and a financial background in really Wall Street. So he's used to kind of being very succinct, very direct. You'll notice that the press conferences are much shorter and really much more succinct than what we've had previously. But if you look at it, the policy really hasn't changed that much at all. The real danger becomes is that this strong economy, which we're seeing, and I believe will continue for the foreseeable future, mm-hmm. really starts to decrease, starts to, slow down. And really the rate increases, they tend to overshoot the mark, which as a possibility could invert the yield curve. But again, that's a possibility, maybe slightly bigger possibility now as a result of the last FOMC conference, but by no means a foregone conclusion. And we also saw, you know, with the recent ECB decision that they're going very, very, very slowly, and there's going to be no type of catch-up to really the U.S.'s tightening policy. It's going to be kind of as slow as they go, which, given what's happening in the EU right now and the instability, is definitely understood.
In terms of expectations going forward, obviously, as you said, well, the Fed kind of positioned itself to maybe move one rate increase from 2019 into this year. But that is enough to get some people thinking maybe things are going to be different. I mean, when you kind of evaluate the Fed on what it's doing versus what it said it's doing, what kind of grade do you give them?
I think they're pretty much on target. They're saying that the only thing where we don't have a lot of transparency and we don't have a lot of detail is the bond buying program. That's something that it's very, very difficult to determine. And really, we don't have sometimes some insight as much on some of the central banks overseas, especially China, because there's not a lot of transparency. But vis-a-vis what our Fed is doing, they're pretty much sticking to the timeline. It's just in some areas it's a bit more vague than I would like it to be. But they're taking it very, very slowly. As I say, the real danger becomes is that the economy starts to slow down sometime toward the end of this year, beginning of next year, and we overshoot the mark. But, in terms of a flat yield curve, which the Fed seems to be aiming for, you know, we've had that in the past. And it tends to favor, by the way, growth stocks over value stocks. But at the same time, it hasn't necessarily caused a recession. And even when the inversion comes, if it comes, sometimes that can be a delayed reaction and may not come for a while. And there's still plenty of liquidity that's flowing around, particularly our tightening seems to be balanced by a fairly loose monetary policy overseas.
You know, I pointed out, of course, that you wrote the book, Don't Fight the Fed. If you're not going to fight the Fed right now, where are you going to be investing? I mean, and let's take that in two different answers. And mostly, of course, I'm talking about on the fixed income side of things. You've got rates moving, and we heard a lot of different things from people at the Morningstar Investment Conference about where they might go. But if I had to start thinking that we've talked to enough to have a consensus, it seems to be that maybe you're going to go towards corporates and some things along those lines. Would you agree with that, or is there some other direction you'd be looking?
I think it's really more the shape of the yield curve that you got to look at, because what you really don't want to do is things can change rapidly. So I think you have to be wary, no matter what it is, between going too long out there. You know, right now, actually, with rates be rising in the short term, you know, the yield curve flattening, you're not getting as much of a benefit as, let's say, you did a year ago toward going out longer term. So you want to stick, you know, shorter term and go out and avoid going out really long term vis-a-vis any type of fixed income security. Probably you're talking somewhere in the middle range or shorter.
We have had some people that say that in this environment, of course, you also, I mean, you just said you want to go towards the middle range. You don't really want the long term because you're going to get whipsawed by the rate changes there. But you don't want to be too focused on the short term because, of course, short term, you're going to get pinched there. So mid-range is going to mean what maturity? That's a year out? That's 3 years out?
I think probably 3 years out, maybe up to 5 years.
In terms of where the Fed is on inflation, I mean, they have been actually, I think, moving a little faster than they expected. They're closer to their target than they thought they were. Do you think that they can stop that from becoming a bit of a runaway? I mean, can they hold to what they're hoping for? Or do you think at some point, no, they can't?
I think there's a two-part answer to that question. Number one is I think the reason why they're raising is they want to kind of put bullets back in the gun. And they don't want to go back to really the, you know, the quantitative easing that they used before as opposed to conventional easing if they need to. So therefore, you know, you need rates to be risen. Otherwise, you have nothing to cut. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing it is the economy seems to be dealing with it. At the same time, I think they're cognizant, particularly from Chairman Powell's press conference, of the possible negative implications of a inverted yield curve, and they want to avoid that, but they still want to make sure they have ammo to deal with a crisis or a recession in the future. I think the other thing that they're seeing is there's some inflationary pressure, but really not much on the top line. If you look at, you know, gas prices, you know, kind of you know, bumped up, but then basically supply considerations took over fairly quickly, actually much more quickly than I saw, so they're not really seeing that much pressure. And given that inflation is still relatively low, they can afford, unless there's some other reason that we're seeing that we haven't seen yet, to kind of take it slower, maybe a little bit faster than they anticipated, but at the same time, you know, also slow enough so that they don't cause a problem or they have to backtrack, which is what has happened in the past, and that causes the Fed to lose credibility.
How strong do you feel the Fed's credibility is right now? I mean, you've been watching the Fed for a long time. We are off to this start with Powell. We saw the strong leadership of Janet Yellen before that. We saw Ben Bernanke, Greenspan. You know, everybody lionized Greenspan. I think today everybody maybe doesn't feel so great about Greenspan. As you look at Powell, where do you position him in terms of your thinking about how good he could be in this job?
Essentially, he's much more direct. He's a Wall Street guy. So therefore, what he says is more comprehensible to Wall Street. He's focused on greater transparency with the idea of a press conference at each decision that they release. So he's much more direct. You'll notice also the press conferences have been much shorter, much simpler. He's managed somehow thus far to control a lot of the political rhetoric that sometimes inserts itself into these press conferences. And But at the same time, his, even though this is form, and the form seems to be quite positive thus far, but as we say, sometimes too much transparency is too much for your own good. That could be a problem later on, as actually Ben Bernanke discovered, where he made a radical change in form from Alan Greenspan. But right now it seems to be working. And the big thing is with his appointment, the new appointments of basically Vice Chairman John Williams and also Vice Chairman elect, if you want to call him that, Richard Clarida, you're not really seeing too much of a change from previous policy. If you want to look at it, he's almost Greenspan 3.0. There was the original Greenspan. Ben Bernanke was Greenspan 1.0. Janet Yellen was Greenspan 2.0. Now you have Greenspan 3.0. But it's kind of like differences, but the essential core of the substance, the essential agreement, is pretty much the same. And you have to remember, Jay Powell is not a newcomer to the Federal Reserve Board. He's been on there prior to his appointment as chairman.
Well, Doug, great stuff as always. You know, I feel much better that I know what is happening and how the Fed's acting and what it means and more when I chat with you after the Fed does indeed act. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Doug Roberts, everybody. He is the chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. Remember that name because the website is channelcapitalresearch.com. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And you can find out more about the book at the website. He's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. And he's on the show pretty much a couple of times a year whenever the Fed is active. All right, we just reached the halfway point on the Friday, June 15th edition of Money Life. But halfway means we've got plenty more to go. So settle back and relax. We'll be talking about a very interesting survey when we come back right after this message.